evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, March, 2008 Carborough Board of Aldermen meeting. Tonight is a public hearing night, so we do not ordinarily hear tonight from citizens about matters that are not on our printed agenda. But before we begin, I would just like to say welcome to two young men who have joined us in the audience here from the Boy Scouts of America. They're here tonight to join us and to learn a little bit, about local government and do some of the civic learning that's a part of being a Boy Scout. So I want to say welcome to both of you young men. I also would like to welcome the leaders from their scout troop who are kind of hiding more in the back row back there, but thank you all for joining us as well tonight. I think one of the things you'll see tonight is that, particularly with it being a public hearing night, that this is the opportunity when we hold open our local government to hear from all the people in our community, anybody who wants to speak or who has an interest in the business that we're carrying on tonight. And I would like to just make a point of taking note of the fact that we really pride ourselves in Carborough on having an open town government and a town government in which all of our residents and our entire community is not only able to be a part of but welcome as a part of. And I hope that that the Boy Scouts of America as an organization can move toward joining us in that spirit and become a more and more open organization in terms of who is allowed to participate in the organization. So with that, I'd like to recognize the town manager for a presentation from the staff.
Tonight we do have one public hearing to consider a minor map amendment for the property located at 102 Center Street from R75 to B2. The board has set this public hearing on the rezoning request for this property and must receive public comment before reaching a decision. Trish McGuire, our planning administrator, has a presentation on the rezoning request prior to opening the hearing. Trish.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Few slides to walk through with you all. Thanks for your time, of course. This is a text amendment that was submitted by the owners of the property at 102 Center Street, and they are individually a group of six people, and then they have also formed a limited liability corporation for their ownership and management of this property. And I see one of them here tonight, Jane Hamborski. The current zoning for this property is R75 and has been in place for at least the past 28 years. There are limited commercial opportunities allowed under the home occupation definition, but it is a residential zoning district. The request is seeking commercial rezoning in order to more fully utilize the property for commercial purposes. And, of course, back in February, you considered this petition, the petition for rezoning, and set this public hearing tonight to consider the request. The property is outlined in blue here at 102 Center Street. It is Center Street runs north-south, connects with Short Street. This is North Greensboro, West Weaver Street. Town Hall is located just about another block down here to the west. This is the Carmel Complex to the east. And then a view of Center Street looking south towards Weaver Street. This is the F&F Auto on Weaver Street here. And then looking back towards the Fitch property to the north. The street is small and is in size and scale. The surrounding zoning is B2 in this location, and B2 along West Weaver Street, B1C running on North Greensboro Street, with the exception of the M1. And then the lightest colored lots in the image are zoned, or lot zoned R75. The lots with the overlay, with the hatch marks on them, are the DNP overlay zone with the associated height restrictions tapering back basically from the core of the B1C to the residential areas. In terms of surrounding land uses, this property is used for a hair salon. This is a vacant lot used for parking. This is a dental office. This is the Community Realty, a WCOM property and associated parking lot. There is an office here for a general contractor, Frank Cole. And then this is a residential services. This is a Vision, Family Vision, I believe. There is a one-story frame house here on a residential property to the north and residential properties to the west across Center Street.
Could you go back to that previous? Is the DMP overlay, it's not on the north side of West Main Street. I want to be, because I see it right on the M1. Does it extend across to the left side as we're looking at the picture on Oak Avenue? So go to the DMP overlay with the hash mark.
Here.
Right, and
yes.
Then go to the left on the other. Yeah, just go to the left. So the other part is not DMP overlay, correct?
The DMP goes up to the edge of Oak Avenue here, which is okay. The boundary of the M1 zoning district.
Okay.
And then this, because it's it was sort of originally defined in association with where these more intensive zoning districts were across the street from or abutted residentially zoned property.
Okay.
I'm sorry if this is a fuzzy image. It's just the quality of it. But just this is a detail from the Downtown Carborough New Vision report that came out of Arsh, downtown Charette. This is Short Street here and Center Street here. And this image is produced, I think, slightly better in the materials we provided at your places. But this report and the community Charette process identified parking as a concern in the downtown, and one of the proposals that was included in the report was the consolidation of a lot of informal parking lots between and around many of the small buildings on Weaver Street and in this block as well and elsewhere in the downtown. In this particular block, there was identified the possibility of consolidating a parking lot behind all of the, adding some new buildings. These dark buildings were suggested as new structures that could be added and throughout the downtown, and then consolidating the parking for this lot. There was no mention of the land uses in the building, but this image was a piece of that plan, which I wanted to share with you consideration of this request. The R75 zoning district, as I said, is a residential zoning district. It has a 7,500 square foot minimum lot size and density per dwelling unit. As with all residential zoning districts, it is intended to secure the happiness of the people who are living in those locations and to make their homes comfortable, healthy, safe, pleasant, and to protect them from incompatible or disruptive non-residential activities that might go on nearby, or could. The B2 zoning district is a fringe commercial district that was created in the mid-1980s as part of the downtown commercial rezoning, and it is designed to accommodate commercial uses in areas that were formerly residential, and particularly those places where it might be more desirable to see this shift occurring because some of the changes that you would see in traffic or proximity to other non-residential zoning districts. And this zoning district was placed in 1986 along West Weaver Street, along West Main Street, on a piece of property over where the old Farmers Market parking lot is, and which has since been rezoned with the Alberta conditional use rezoning. But one of the elements of the zoning district is the encouragement, though not the requirement, for reuse of existing residential buildings and preservation of that residential character.
Trish.
Yes.
In the paperwork we have, it says this district is found in three locations. Are those the ones you just identified?
Yes. Yes, and one of them has since been rezoned, so it's two. So a quick comparison of these two zoning districts in terms of density, building heights, setbacks, et cetera. They are very similar. The setbacks in the B2 zoning district are a little bit more permissive. They're not as large as they are in the at the street right-of-way as they are in the R75 zoning district, so a little bit more of a lot can be developed in the B2 than in the R75. The building height, which is capped off at 35 feet in the R75 zoning district, doesn't have a height limit, a specified height limit. It has a two-story limit and a requirement that if a building exceeds 35 feet near a residential structure, a structure in the B2 exceeds that height near a one in the R75, that they have to step back 10 feet from the setback that otherwise applies. So in any case, a taller building can be built in the B2, although it is limited to two stories. But based on design, it can exceed that height. In terms of parking requirements, the residential zoning districts and residential uses of this sort, which on this particular lot, which is just slightly over the minimum lot size, and can accommodate one dwelling unit, two parking spaces are required. For the range of commercial uses that could be allowed or would be allowed with various permit types in the B2 zoning district, additionally, between 1 and 12 parking spaces could be required, in association with permitting those uses on the property. There are many specific types of residential uses defined in the ordinance. 26 of them are allowed in the R75 and 25 in the B2. So as you can see, the B2 does still permit most of the residential uses that are allowed in the residential district, the R75. It's with the commercial uses that we see a change, and in that case, there are newly allowed in the B2 10 different types of commercial uses, including office and retail, restaurant, and open-air markets. Just a few procedural notes. This is a minor map amendment because of the type of request and the size of the property. The action that you all have to consider is a legislative zoning action, and so one of the opportunities for the exercise of broad authority on the part of the local government. The principal issue is the advancement of the public health, safety, or welfare, looking particularly at the appropriateness of the uses in this new zoning district in relation to the ones that are in the existing zoning district. Per the General Assembly's changes in requirements for rezonings a few years ago, your action on this rezoning does have to include a resolution that records your findings with regard to the inconsistency or consistency of the rezoning with adopted plans. And they also, the General Assembly also suggested statements of direct, substantial, and readily identifiable financial impact or lack thereof. The Planning Board review of this action or this request was required and has taken place. So just a few considerations are summarized here and described in in the staff memo that accompanied the abstract for this public hearing. And they are that the scale and character of a historic character of Center Street, adopted policies. The town has adopted policies calling for the protection of existing residential areas, particularly those with historic value, and the sort of opposing intrusion of commercial zoning to those areas. The town also has adopted policies to see the expansion of commercial opportunities, particularly in the downtown. There is a parking area shown in this location and sort of the addition of new uses on this small block in the downtown Carborough New Vision Report. And the B2 zoning itself calls for but doesn't require the protection of that kind of residential and historic character of buildings located there. Got three pages. This actually refers to three pages of action options, not just three of them, so I apologize for that lack of clarity. In terms of what we've provided for you, you can directly respond to the rezoning request by, first of all, adopting the draft ordinance that would approve the rezoning and adopting the resolution numbered 120 in your packets, which finds the rezoning consistent with town policy. You could otherwise also alternatively choose to adopt Resolution 121, which would find the rezoning inconsistent, and you would not approve the rezoning that's been requested. The staff has recommended a couple of alternatives to this. First, and we provided a resolution at your packets, which is numbered 123. It includes within it three different options, the first of which would direct the initiation of the rezoning of 104 and holding off on the decision of this request until the second public hearing on that had been held on a rezoning on this street. And the second, which is option B, directing initiation of a general use rezoning, the creation of a new general use district that would seek to balance this interest in expanded commercial uses, but emphasizing neighborhood and historic preservation. So the lot that's just to the north here, this is, again, 102 Center Street, and then 104 is right here.
Trish, real quickly.
Yes.
Do we have a request to rezone 104?
We do not.
Then why would we be rezoning 104 if it hasn't been requested?
Well, the town can, anyone actually can initiate a rezoning request such as this.
Why would you want to initiate that?
To create a consistent, to consider a consistent zoning district for the east side of Center Street. Otherwise, this small R75 lot here is left.
Is that currently being used as a residence?
It is.
Yes.
If it was rezoned to B2, would their taxes go up?
I do not know. I think we would have to. I mean, typically that is the case, but the.
Oh, so it's nothing they have to worry about. Okay.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
Typically there's some change, but it depends on the value of the property itself and, you know, a variety of factors, but as I understand it. Whoops, let me see. There was one. Well, so the third list of action options is, if you were to look, if you were to look at a general use rezoning, you know, it would be perhaps just all of those lots on the east side of Center Street, perhaps a little bit larger area, but give an opportunity to consider how that character might be maintained into the future.
What do you mean by perhaps a larger area?
Well, perhaps the other side of the street as well.
Why?
To have a zoning district that would be, I'm just suggesting that this would be the result of a process that would probably involve all of the residents, and certainly we've heard and we'll continue to hear about various interests they might have, but to try and create a consistent zoning district would be the reason to at least look at it, I think, to try and find the best fit. It's just a thought, a suggestion.
With Resolution 123,
yes.
Are we required to do the second paragraph in order to do either option B or C?
The second whereas clause.
Yeah, the second whereas clause. Well, we have done that. I guess I was confused about was, the second whereas clause does not necessarily mean we are going to change it.
No, that just means you've accepted. Okay. You've accepted it and held the public hearing.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Accepted the petition necessarily approving the change.
Exactly. Okay. You always have the option of not accepting a petition for rezoning. And in this case, you did accept it.
Okay. I'll make sure.
And then the third option, which is provided in your in Resolution 123, is the approach the Planning Board has provided in their recommendation to you from their meeting last week. I should note that they did also provide an additional supporting recommendation, which I believe, and I'm not sure if I've seen anywhere from the Planning Board here tonight yet, but they were looking kind of expressing an interest in a larger question regarding this low-intensity neighborhood commercial mixed-use zoning. So it was not included because it wasn't directly related to the 102 Center Street.
No, we have that also.
Yes. I just didn't summarize it in that resolution. So happy to try and answer any other questions you might have.
Um,
Mr. Mayor, just for clarification, these three options, and I think you said it, but just to be clear, these three options, A, B, and C, are in addition, of course, to the option of doing what the applicant asked, which would be the adoption of the ordinance.
Right. It could be in addition or in substitute either one.
Right.
That's right. In other words, right. if you chose to just rezone it in accordance with this ordinance, you wouldn't be adopting a resolution, you'd be adopting the ordinance. So you've got the ordinance as sort of alternative one, and then A, B, C are 2, 3, and 4, if you will.
Right. Okay.
Could you go back to the other picture, to the slide before that, on the general use rezoning? The slide on the, the one that you have the circle in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong arrow tonight.
Okay. So if you rezone the other side of Center Street, if you rezoned 102, 104, and the other side of Center Street, then Oak Avenue, you would have the optometrist office and Fitch. So very quickly an argument could be made that those four lots on Oak should then be rezoned because they had commercial next to them. Just a point I wanted to make about that.
Okay. We have two people signed up to speak on this matter. I'm sure we'll recognize a few others that may not have signed up. Okay, there's no problem. We'll just call on the two people who signed up first, and then other people who want to speak can just raise their hand and let me know.
Maybe we should have the owner of Jane Himborski's owner.
Does the applicant have some comments to make? Well, it's okay. We know who you are. Come on up to the podium, Jane. You do not need to be sworn for this hearing.
No swearing.
No cussing either, please.
And this is my second visit to y'all. Closer to the mic. And in a nutshell, this property, I bought 105. I own 103 and 105 as well. So one of the main reasons that I was interested in trying to pursue the 102 purchase was my neighbor, whose aunt owned the house and bought it from the mill in the 20s, wanted it to be preserved. So she called me one January evening saying, I want you to buy my house because I know you won't tear it down and you won't. You know, I know you'll probably have to make it some type of commercial because it's so hard to expensive to live down there, and Center Street has a high volume of traffic now. So what I saw possible was to get some friends together because I couldn't afford it by myself. The houses are getting really expensive along with the taxes. And so three couples purchased this house and formed Center Street Preservation LLC to try to actually have this be the first step of looking at Center Street as being the stopping point for what may happen behind us. Our concern is, since I own 103 and 105, is we've been offered, CVS was interested about 6 years back, pursued all of us to try to purchase that whole block from the east side over. And then about 4 months ago, Rite Aid, I guess, who bought somebody.
Eckerd's.
They called and left messages at least four per week. And I called our neighbors. Nobody was interested. I tried to just call them back to see what they were wanting. And they said, well, we can offer you a lot of money. And I said, well, how much is a lot of money? And they wouldn't say. So they're wanting to, somebody wants that whole area. And Weaver Street Market was interested in it. It actually was in the new vision, a lot of discussion about that, and actually made sense. They own the property right next to us, the parking lot, and they also own 104, which is the house on the other side. And one of their employees is staying there right now. But at any rate, so I came to the town, I asked Trish what opportunities. We kind of see like a mixed-use zoning, but apparently the town doesn't exactly have anything like that, because I do want the limited use to be narrow, our partnership does, to keep the preservation of the house, the preservation of the neighborhood, I have tenants in my houses, and hopefully I can always keep it that way. I'd like to keep that street kind of the street where you've got a little bit of protection between the bigger, taller buildings that could happen in the other zoning district of commercial and the little houses in R75. So I look at it as kind of a stopping point, but then being able to use some mixed-use, low-impact commercial, just as it was when the mill was built, when our next door, next to my 105, where I lived for 20 years, had a shoe repair in the back. And there's a schoolhouse a couple doors down, and a lot of my neighbors are here to maybe comment on all this as well. And I think all of us kind of feel, we have met a few times and been to the last couple meetings, and I think that we see this as one step to try to get it. So then looking at a new zoning to try to make it compatible, not just B2. I think B2 is a little too weak. Also, Weaver Street, it's amazing that nothing's happened to Weaver Street yet, but B2 allows it to happen, but it hasn't. So I think we come from it, all of us, from a preservation. The whole thing is from a preservation. That's how it all started. I even told Trudy that if we ended up down the road as the town developed that area, whatever happens, that we would try to move it to another lot. So we wanted to save the house at all costs. So that's pretty much, I think, a summary. Do any of my partners have anything else to add? Any questions from anybody?
Okay. We may have some in a little bit, but
okay.
Thanks, Sam. Tim Peck.
What's that? It's been nice working with this group of neighbors to, you know, figure out a community problem. And I think as the town, as all of us move forward, I think we're going to see this type of issue again, where, you know, there is commercial bordering residential. In the kind of town that we've evolved into, I think it's important how we make this decision and what we come up with. I like, apparently the rezoning will take some time, but I like that idea of creating a, you know, a, basically a house that can be used for business. And I think Jane covered most of the other points.
Thanks, Tim. Jeff Herrick.
This one good?
Yeah, great. Is this the power? Is it?
That's the yellow button. Is the pointer?
Okay. My name's Jeff Herrick. I live actually on Center Street. It's 109, which is right here, sort of at the nexus of Shorten Center. And I've lived there since 2000, so I've lived there about 8 years. I rented it for 3 years, and then me and my wife, Michelle, bought the house in 2003. And originally it was the first schoolhouse in Carrboro, so it was built in 1898, and we really like living close to town and in a historic building, and it's our intention to keep it historic and modernize the inside so we can you know, live there, and it needs some work, obviously. So we're planning on putting a lot of money into it, and one of the trepidations we have about that is what's going to happen across the street and what are the long-term effects of this rezoning. So what was I going to say next? Sorry. So what B2 allows and what we're concerned about is not just what Jane was talking about, maybe having a big building across the street, but B2 also allows you to have a restaurant or a bar that's open late, actually allows you to have outdoor seating. So even if it did stay historic character, you might still have something like Provence right across the street from us. And I guess, well, this one's already B2 right here, so I guess that could happen already, but I'd rather not see the whole rest of the street go towards B2, and I hope we can come up with another type of option. It seems that the zoning categories haven't really been looked at, or at least this kind of zoning category hasn't looked at in 22 years. And I think this could be, if we do a different kind of zoning for Center Street, I don't mind having you know, small businesses. We already have a hair shop across the street that's appointment only. Those type of businesses where you have walk-in during the, not walk-in, but you have, you know, people coming for appointments during the day, that's fine. It's not, and even Fitch Lumber is not a big deal for us because it's only open 8 to 5, and so it's not open at night. And so I think it's really, those, the hair shop and things like that are compatible with having a residential neighborhood. And this is a residential neighborhood. We have all these houses with residents, this one, and Jane's houses, and Tim's house. They're all, they all, and the one on the end is actually owned, it's been owned for a long time for a woman in her 80s, but her grandson lives there, and it's all residential on our street. So the planning board didn't, they listened to our, last Thursday, listened to our concerns, but then they came, I'm not exactly sure what they recommended, but after they heard all this, they said, well, we could have B2 with conditional use. And the thing I'm concerned about is once that R becomes a B, then the B could become, you know, whatever else is next along the line. So once you have that domino effect on Center Street, I don't know what's going to happen here. Well, I'd be here in, you know, 4 or 5 years. We plan on living there as long as we can. And am I going to be back here in 5 years, you know, fighting someone else to change it from B2 to something else because it's in the best interest of the town? And so I'm just here to say this is a residential neighborhood, and we really like living here, and we'd like to keep it residential as much as possible. But also I understand that Jane can't rent this house for the mortgage she has, so I'm okay with, and I think other people are okay with her having some sort of businesses that are by appointment only during the day. I think, once again, that could be used by, I think you're going to run up against this as you go on at different parts of the town where the commercial districts are butting up against the downtown. And so I don't think this can just be used for Center Street. This can be used for other parts of the town. This could be a tool that could be used in the future. So since we haven't looked at it in 22 years, I think it might be about time. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Jeff. Michelle Ruiz.
Hi, I'm Michelle Rivest, and I live at 100 Oak Avenue, which is the street right behind the west side of Center Street, and we're talking about the east side of Center Street. I wanted to add a few things to what our neighbors have already said. We appreciate Jane's approach to gather the neighbors together. We've been talking about this for about a year now, I would say, or a long period of time anyway. And we, too, would support the Jane's request to allow daytime appointment-only businesses. I think, as Jeff said very well, the problem for us and many more neighbors on Oak Avenue is that the B2 zoning is not appropriate in the sense that it's not very compatible with residential neighborhoods. I think the town, if you look through all of your planning documents, Vision 20, you know, there's lots of talk about wanting to be compatible with the neighborhood, protecting the architectural integrity of these old mill houses. We've lived in our house for 22 years. We were partners with Jane early on about trying to create a neighborhood preservation district. We weren't successful, but I think even our former mayor has said it's time to rethink that for downtown Carrboro, because we've got a lot of valuable historic residential homes that once you lose them, once they go commercial and you build two stories or more, you can't get this back. This is what everyone talks about, is the character and quality of Carrboro. I think we need a new zoning type of ordinance that would protect the neighborhoods. I think the planning board was very receptive to that, but it, you know, went beyond the scope of this particular proposal. So there's some way to find a compromise here to allow, you know, perhaps just the 102 Center Street property to be dealt with, some sort of waiver or exception, which I know we talked about at the planning board, is probably not possible. But, you know, while the town goes forward to think about a different kind of zoning that really protects things, I think we need this tool. We've lost these types of homes on Oak Avenue and into the neighborhoods already because there just is no protection or valuing of these beautiful old mill homes. So I hope you'll be considerate of that as you go forward. I have to say I'm honestly very surprised to hear the staff talking about rezoning all of Center Street. That has never come up anywhere in conversation So I understand the push for the east side, since there is some commercial property there, but you need to think about protecting the residential neighborhoods, and the west side of Center Street is that buffer and that protection. So I really hope you won't even look at that, because it comes as a complete surprise to me and I think the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Is there anybody else here who has not signed up who would like to speak? Okay. If not, are there board members who care to comment?
Yeah, I guess.
Randy?
I'm interested in, based on what we've heard, and I think, I mean, the citizen input tonight, I think, was pretty much uniform in terms of everyone supporting the property owner's goals, but yet also having an idea of how to do that. And I think the resolution 123 with option B for the east side, that, and I would add to that language that reflects what Tim Peck said, which is that a house that can be used for business, and not as a requirement, but as sort of a sense of what's of what we'd be looking for there. And I think that's the way to get where we want to in terms of protecting the character of that part of downtown and allowing those businesses to become established on that side of the city.
Randy.
Well, I want to thank the folks who came out, and you know, I think you've got a Center Street Preservation Group has a real clear vision, and I think it's clear to me that what you know you're all referring to makes a lot of sense. Historic Carrboro is, you know, a place that lives hand in hand with commerce. That's how it got started. So, and I really respect the fact that folks are seeing home or residential related commerce as a good thing. I think that's very positive. I'm thinking when I looked over the maps and I drove down the streets a couple times, and I was thinking about the fact that maybe what we need on the east side of Center, and for any emerging spaces that may end up in this same situation in future, is some transitional zoning, not a buffer, but transitional zoning that would allow for the same kinds of things that we're looking for here, so that the next time this comes around, it isn't a, well, do you remember what we did with the east side of Center Street, but it's something that will work where this may happen elsewhere. I think it makes perfect sense to have, to encourage commerce that is daylight hours. I think, based on what Jeff was saying, yeah, you really don't want to have late night things right next to where there's homes. So I don't know if 123B would capture that transitional aspect of it that could be applied elsewhere. So I would, you know, I would look to create an option B that allows for transitional uses based on the things that we've described.
Could you say what you mean by transitional that's not captured in B? Because I think B does speak to that.
Well, but B, once you've got a B designation, it is allowing for the commercial to incorporate the residential. I guess what I'm looking for is to have it based on residential that leans towards commercial.
So, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
So that, for example, if you have residential properties that want to include a business component and grow to a business component, as long as it's compatible with the residential, then that would be the transitional, as opposed to being cited as a commercial space, which I think is what folks were referring to. So rather than designated as a commercial space that is on residential property, I would look to position it as transitional property, residential property that's transitioning or allowing for the growth into some commerce, so that artists who live there or tradespeople live there or service people who live there can expand into commercial.
So if I think I understand you correctly, yours is more of an RB as opposed to a B.
Correct.
With limits.
Correct.
So
I mean, that's what I'm hearing, that folks are, and it's more transitional than buffer, and I think that's important because of all the other emerging places that this could occur around town.
And then
so it's a residential zone.
It's a residential
with, fundamentally.
Right.
Right.
But it allows for the growth of commerce.
Sure.
Well, I think, you know, when I was looking at this, and let me just say up front, I thought the B2 designation was inappropriate because of the number of uses. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate because I've driven on the street a number of times, and, you know, I confess, use it as a cut-through sometimes. But yeah. slowly driving. And it just doesn't seem to me, you know, you could have, you know, it seems incompatible, for example, with a restaurant. It seems to me Provence is in the right place because it's a main street and, you know, there's not, you know, you could walk to Provence if you wanted to.
Right.
But it seems that it's in the appropriate place where it is because it's on
Main Street.
And so I think, you know, an office for an attorney or a CPA or, you know, some jewelry maker or something like that would be appropriate. But the uses, because I wrote them down, which I thought were incompatible, were, you know, nightclub. Not to say that I haven't been in a nightclub in my previous younger years. But, you know, it also had towers and related structures and open-air market, and the setbacks are more permissive. And I think if we want to retain the character and people use it as a small business but not, you know, have too much of a detrimental effect on the residential neighborhood, I think sort of an RB, which gives people the opportunity to actually live where they work if they're self-employed, sort of, you know, makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I guess I have well, I have a question for the staff. When we recently considered a I guess it was a conditional use permit application from the Riverson Square development, there was not a rezoning involved in that case. So we wrote in some restrictions, for example, that said, well, notwithstanding we're letting you build this building, that you can't have a restaurant.
That's right. That was through the conditional use permit. Those are conditions on the permit.
That wouldn't be possible in this situation because we're not looking at a conditional use permit. Is that right?
You're not looking at a conditional use permit.
But I mean, in other words, we couldn't do something similar to that.
Some of the uses currently in that zoning district do require, like a restaurant, for example, does require a conditional use permit. And so you could place limits on hours of operation. You could place limits on the extent of outdoor dining or perhaps in the presence of it because of the impacts.
If hypothetically we changed it to B2 and then they were interested in opening a restaurant, would they need a conditional use permit to open a restaurant?
That's one of the uses that requires. I'm pretty sure. I'll just have to double check, but
I mean,
Provence
is that right?
Provence to get a conditional use permit.
I don't remember that, but I guess it was before I was.
Yes,
before your time.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. All right. My other question. You know, I guess my reservation about 123B, or resolution 123 option B, or even D, as maybe it was stated, is that I think, you know, if this property were to be rezoned to B2, that this would not be the only place in town where this is a little bit of an issue. And so I have some reservation about 123B the way that it's written there because it's written to address the east side of Center Street, or at a minimum the east side of Center Street, and it seems to me that there are some issues Yeah, like I have some vague concerns about the way B2 is structured in general, that maybe it does not do as much as it could to encourage the reuse of historic buildings in other areas of our downtown besides just on Center Street. So I don't know. So I have a concern about whether that course of action really gets at that issue. But at another level, you know, one of the things that kind of bothers me about this whole situation is that, you know, we've been asked, we were petitioned about one very simple matter, and we managed to kind of amplify it into something much more complicated. And
thank you.
We were asked about 102, but then everybody keeps getting drawn into 104, and then before you know it, the west side of Center Street, and you know we're we've only been asked about 102 Center Street, and the problems that are potentially associated with even the one rezoning at 102 Center Street are, frankly, problems that we kind of imagine happening down the road. That doesn't. I'm not trying to suggest that they never will happen, but I'm saying it's not as though there is a present or immediate problem with the way that 102 Center Street is being used now. So I'm inclined to do something. I'm not sure that option B really gets at it because I definitely don't want to look at the west side of Center Street. I'm not even sure I want to look at the whole east side of Center Street. You know, we only got the vaguest kind of inquiry last time, and they didn't even come back this time from the people who own 104 Center Street. I don't see why we need to consider anything about the zoning of 104 Center Street at all. It's fine the way it is for now. And if there's something wrong with the B2 zoning district, then I think we ought to look at the B2 zoning district. So I kind of come at this from a very different perspective, which is I kind of think that we ought to allow 102 Center Street to be rezoned to B2, and then we ought to take a look at the question of what are the rules about B2, and do those rules need to be refined somewhat in order to make B2 a more compatible zone with where it is. That's how I was coming at it.
His hand was up first.
Jackie hadn't gone yet.
Okay.
Let her.
Go ahead, Jackie.
My main concern is creep. And every time you change something, then what's next to it becomes more vulnerable to some kind of commercialization, whether it's an in-home. I'm fine with home businesses, but whether it's a commercial use of a residential property, which is different than a home business, really, or it creates a whole new zone that then squeezes a residential area. I'm all for finding a way to help 102 meet their goals. B2, however, is way too broad. If we change it to B2, it does open the door for a restaurant, for a nightclub. I mean, even though these folks, that's not what they're going to do. They have no intention of tearing that down and building a two-story restaurant there. But they could, you know. And it's the coulds that we always have to be careful of. Plus, then we'll hear from another property somewhere else in town, well, you let them do this, so therefore you have to let us do it. So you get both the legislative creep and the physical down-the-street creep, you know? And we have enough creeps down the street that we don't need, especially in that neighborhood. So, you know, I kind of like the planning board's notion of finding a way to very much limit what we, you know, to grant this, but very, very limited in what it can be used for.
Dan.
Okay, a couple of things. First off, if the applicant were able to come in with their property in a vacuum where it didn't border 104 Center Street and wasn't across from the other side and spitting distance of Oak Avenue, then I would say, yeah, this is a simple request. But the fact is that every time we have a rezoning, It affects all the neighborhoods around it, and we have to think about that. And that's nothing new. The second thing is that I do think that B2 does create the kind of slippery slope or creep that Jackie's talking about. And I also think that fiddling with B2 doesn't, which, as Joel pointed out, is appropriate in other places, like where Provence is, and it doesn't get at the broader question that the planning board raised, and that of having something that can perhaps be applied elsewhere around town. So I'm thinking that if option B struck the clause that said, at a minimum, the east side of Center Street that responds to the applicant's desire, and just said a general use zoning district that creates commercial opportunities but also includes mechanisms to protect the unique historic character of the area, and also ask staff to include the sense of this discussion, that we would get something that got us where we want for this property. And the next point I want to make is that, in response to Mark, that creating a zoning district doesn't say anything about where we apply it. So if we create this new district and it meets the applicant's needs for 102, we don't have to apply it to 104. We don't have to apply it anywhere unless a property owner or someone else comes in and requests it, or we think it's a good idea. So I don't think we need to jump the gun on thinking there's some implication for a broader rezoning. And the other point I want to make, getting a little bit of ahead of things, but if we do decide to look at a new zone, we need to think about the implications on the surrounding properties, because the surrounding properties along Greensboro and Weaver Street, because the residential designation creates limits on what can be done on those properties, whereas a business designation would not, or not to the same extent. So we would have to decide whether we wanted those limits to apply or not as residential. And my sense, although I'd be interested in further discussion, my sense is that we would not. In other words, that if we're going to have commercial use at 102 Center, then it ought to be okay for that lot on Weaver Street and along Greensboro Street, Seaton's office, to develop without the setbacks required by residential and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Dan, let me ask you this. So to get at that, could we designate properties that are pre-existing residential as being the properties that could emerge as commercial and clarify it that way, so that we're not looking at areas that are already commercial, like Seaton's office or the Weaver Street property. We're looking at residential to stay fundamentally residential in architecture, for lack of a better term, and just being able to add in the commercial for it.
Well, I think if it's a zone, anyone can request that zone for any property, and I don't see any reason, for example, that, you know, if there was a vacant lot somewhere and someone wanted to build a new house and apply this zone so it could be a residential type structure with a commercial use, and we thought that was appropriate, you know, that there couldn't be other places, you know, where there's not a residence yet, mm-hmm. that it could be applied.
Mm-hmm. Lydia and then Joel.
Well, a lot of what we're saying is a lot of the conversation that happened at the planning board meeting on Thursday night. And part of the dilemma, which we're all discussing, is this back and forth between rezoning or perhaps a conditional use permit, and hence the recommendation from the planning board to kind of do both. They kept saying, isn't there anything between an R75 and a B2, because that's what is needed. And this situation, but I think they also were trying to look at it more broadly, just like everyone here is, you know, more broadly throughout the town. And the reality of this specific request is that, you know, this property, the petitioners are you know, asking for guidance as to how they're going to be able to do what they want to do. And any of these solutions that we're discussing, certainly a rezoning or going through the process of coming up with a new zone will take a while, and it seems that everyone on the board, myself included, is interested in looking at that somewhat, to some degree. But and of course, starting over with the conditional use permit starts the process over, be expensive, and have to go through that whole process. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that all just to say that, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way that the petitioners could have what they want to have in their space with the limitations we're all talking about, but yet move forward with this overall discussion of this new zone. And I'm you know, I'm wondering if one way they could do this, it's not a way that we could require, but if they were rezoned B2, you know, they could place a restrictive covenant of some sort on that particular piece of property that would limit that use to certain uses, and then it could expire at a point when that property was rezoned. It's just a thought of a way to address that certain parcel.
I have a similar but slightly different idea, but Joel, you're...
Go ahead.
Well, I wondered whether... I can't think of a time when I've ever seen this happen locally, but I believe that it's possible to rezone a property for a period of time in North Carolina. And I wonder whether... whether it be possible to, you know, I don't think anybody's concerned about what Jane's going to do with the property in the next year. They're concerned about what's going to happen, you know, years down the road as the use potentially changes. The concern that one of the concerns I have about trying to develop a new zone that would get to all of this is the length of time that's involved in doing that, which I would think would be, you know, 6 or 12 months, something in that time. Realistically, it could not be 6 months, I don't believe, because I believe we have too much other work that's in front of the planning staff right now. What if we, Mr. Attorney, would it be possible to pass an ordinance or a resolution tonight that would change the zoning of that property from R75 to B2 from, you know, tonight until a year from tonight or something like that?
Well, you could indicate that by resolution or motion or whatever that you intend to revisit the zoning of the property, but that process would involve a public hearing, and
sure.
you couldn't commit to doing it, and you can't make it automatic. But as we've done before, you could say we've rezoned it, but we're going to look at it again in another year or 2 years or whatever, and to go through a process. And
well, I guess what I was trying to suggest was pass, and I don't know, you're the attorney, so you tell me, but I was trying to suggest a resolution that would say, well, we hereby change the zoning from R75 to B2, and unless we take some other action 1 year from tonight, it will revert back to R75.
No, that you cannot do.
Could not do that.
You've got to go through a public hearing process, and you know, you have to notify it, and the property mm-hmm. owner has an opportunity to...
Okay.
To,
but we could do something that would be more like, you know, that we would make a decision to... rezone now and rezone again within a year or something like that, although obviously there's nothing that would hold us to that latter part of that decision.
That's correct, and the property owner then has a ability to file a protest petition that would change the voting requirements, you know, to a...
I guess the concern I'm trying to get to is that, you know, one of the things about this situation, as I understand it, is that you know, there's a local business that's trying to... hang out their shingle and begin operating. I think it's Curl Up and Die. Is that the right business? It was a business that was a neighbor of mine on Ash Street before their building was bought out and leased to somebody else. And it's a good neighbor, and I don't think anybody's, you know, I guess I just am trying to find a way to see that they don't curl up and die. Yeah, exactly. Joel.
If we rezoned it to B2, could we set some very strict limits on the commercial use, or are we stuck with the uses of B2?
No, and indeed, I would have to caution you that if you rezone it to B2, it has to be done with the understanding that any of the uses in B2 are appropriate for that.
Right.
Zone, because when you rezone it to B2, anybody can make use of that. And should it appear that it was rezoned with the expectation or with a clear understanding that it wouldn't be used for any other purpose, and even then that would constitute a kind of zoning that used to be called contract zoning, and now we just call it all-red zoning after the case that gave its name. So basically the bottom line is that kind of zoning, if you're going to rezone it to a general use district, it has to be done with the understanding that you have concluded, looked at the different uses that are permissible, and found that those uses are okay, or at least consistent with the public health, safety, and welfare, or more consistent than the existing zoning.
Can I ask one other follow-up question?
Sure.
Could, I hate to say it so people don't look at me and start screaming uncontrollably.
Don't say it.
But, you know, people in my house sometimes scream.
Say it so we can move on.
Could we have, like, and it would require us, I guess, to have another public hearing, to have sort of a moratorium while we decide the rezoning, but that only lasts for 6 months, right? Or a year.
Well, a moratorium on what?
I guess zoning that section until we come up with a new zoning.
We don't need a moratorium to do that. You just don't zone it for whatever period of time. I mean, the moratorium is applicable to building permits and,
right.
and permits as opposed to zoning. If you just choose not to zone something, you just don't zone it, or rezone it, I should say. It's already zoned.
You know, I just, to the rest of the board, the reason why I asked that question is I'm just really uncomfortable with the breadth of the B2 zoning
right.
uses. Because they
what?
And okay. I mean, because some of them are nightclub and other various sundry things.
The problem
what is
with
the zone? Let me just ask, what's the zone where Johnny's is on Main Street?
It's a very residential.
So that's non-conforming.
It's non-conforming, yes. Yeah.
The problem with B2 for
that's
me...
That's another public hearing.
the problem with the B2 for me is that the B2 carries with it creating a laundry list of things that we don't want instead of things that we do want. And I'd rather be looking at this, again, explain to me where people are having difficulty citing it as residential with some expanded commercial possibilities. I mean, because one of the things that Carrboro prides itself on is the ability to be a local living economy with people who are artists and photographers and hairstylists that, you know, their businesses are going to grow out of homes. And I want to see that happen. And in one of the most comfortable places for that to happen is right downtown, contiguous to all the larger commercials. So explain to me why we're having... where people are uncomfortable with creating a transitional zone.
I don't.
It's the time. I think Mark's point.
The
time.
It's the timing. I'm not against doing that. I guess what I'm suggesting is, at this point, is maybe we go ahead and do this rezoning now, and then do that rezoning, you know, within a year. I mean, and I hear what the attorney's saying about we can't enter into some kind of agreement or purported agreement with the property owner about how it's going to be used in the intervening year, but I'll just say this, that, you know, for example, if it would take you at least a year to get a conditional use permit to open a restaurant,
right.
First of all.
And
second of all, I mean, the fact is that, you know, it is in fact owned by some people who are very sensitive to the kind of issues that we're concerned about right now, and that, you know, within the next year we have the time and the opportunity to act to make sure that some future owner who might not be as sensitive can't do something less consistent.
But I would make the motion right now, except I know how busy the town is over the next year.
That's true.
And I'm worried about things getting lost, and I don't see the guarantee that it won't get lost. So if you can solve that problem of how to guarantee that it won't get lost, or somebody else will come ask for the same thing.
What if along the lines of what Joel was saying, if we went ahead with the rezoning and at the same time put a development moratorium on that block so that we could create this new zone? I mean, that wouldn't get to the issue of the uses for that particular space, but, you know, we're hearing from them they don't want any different uses in the short term, and it would buy us the time to go ahead and develop a new zone over the next year.
If that'll work, that'll work.
I mean, it doesn't get to your point of are we guaranteed to have a new zone a year from now? No, but I mean,
right.
To have it in place.
Right.
But,
if there's a moratorium, that'll at least red flag it.
No, yeah. I suggested this at the planning board meeting on Thursday night, Joel. That's why I'm glad you brought it up again tonight. But I know, Trish, you had some comments. I mean, maybe I just caught you off guard. Do you have some thoughts about that when I said it?
About the moratorium.
Right.
Well, I think I just said we would have to look and see, you know, how, I mean, you all would have to carefully articulate what your objectives were, and we would have to define a geographic area or a type, permit type or something like that to which the moratorium would apply. So it could be done, I think. It just, you know, is it for the whole B2? I wasn't clear, I think, on whether you were asking just about Center Street, which is a portion of the B2. Well, it's only got one lot in the B2. But, you know, exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, it's more the R75 even. It might be some looking at, because
yeah.
That's why I was asking where
right.
all
may
they
be.
Were.
Yes, right.
That's
right.
R75.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, it could be that.
The one practical problem with the notion of a moratorium is just that
right.
whether we really meet the legal requirements for a moratorium,
yeah.
And also that there's a limit of 6 months on a moratorium.
No, there's not a limit of 6 months on the moratorium, except in the where you've got affects the joint
northern
planning or northern study area, right?
With oh, is that right?
Limitation
okay.
that generally there isn't, but the problem that I would suggest with it is that if in essence you're talking about having a moratorium for one lot,
right.
I think that's problematic. And if it's not one lot, if it's all of B2, then that obviously brings in now you're again into a much wider issue,
right.
That affects a whole lot of other.
Right.
Folks, let me.
We could actually. That's what we did in the MSA, right?
Well, we would have to have a public hearing.
It can
on
be
that
geographic, subject. but I'm not sure what the geographic area would be.
Well, you could do that.
Why can't it be that block? Is that too small?
Maybe.
Well, how about
I don't know the answer, but that's a very funny looking moratorium, frankly. I don't mean to be facetious. I mean,
right.
I mean funny from the standpoint of how that might strike someone, because
someone like a judge.
Really, yeah, someone wears black robes
yeah,
on,
like Judge Padua.
You know, because really there's only two lots on that street.
Right.
If this were rezoned, there'd be only two lots that it would apply to that. Because you wouldn't be applying, you wouldn't need a moratorium in the residential
right.
portions of the street, because unless you were trying to prevent another house from being built, which
right.
You know
right.
there's not a lot of.
You can't
let me suggest to you that the two techniques that I think are available, and then you can decide to deal with the issue of being concerned about the full range of B2 uses. Two uses, one, well, there are actually potentially three. Are these conditional use zoning, which we already have in the zoning ordinance, which does require a conditional use permit to be established. Conditional zoning, which simply is zoning that allows you to rezone property subject to a condition but doesn't require a conditional use permit. So, for example, the difference between the two of those being this. A conditional use zoning would mean that in this case the applicant would apply for a B2 conditional use district, which we already have in the ordinance, and would specify the particular use, but every use would require a conditional use permit.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously deals with the issue, and that would apply in any other situation that was like this. That works fine where the applicant knows the specific, has a particular use in mind, because you're getting not only the rezoning, but a conditional use for that particular use. And no other use could be made without getting another conditional use permit. So that technique in this situation is well suited to achieve the objectives of this applicant,
okay.
subject only to the issue about the delays of a conditional use permit that are associated with it. the second alternative that's related to it that we don't have in our ordinance but is easily adopted, and that's conditional zoning, in which the property is rezoned subject to whatever conditions that you impose. So, for example, you could rezone property from R75 to B2 subject to the condition that it only be allowed to have the following uses, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever, with subject to limitations on hours and blah, blah, blah. These are the conditions. The applicant would have to propose those, but the benefit of that is that they don't have to have a specific use. You can tailor it so that you've got a small range of uses rather than that one particular use. That it wouldn't take much to amend the ordinance to allow for that kind of thing, just as the conditional use zoning to put it in place in the ordinance was not difficult to draft or involved a lengthy, I mean, you know, everything takes, there's a process, but it doesn't mean it takes a year to do it. You know, I could draft it, you know, tomorrow afternoon.
Would it require a public hearing?
It does require a public hearing to, well, it would require a public hearing to first to put it in place, and secondly to do it, but that's the second alternative. And the third alternative is, in essence, kind of what Dan and Randy were proposing, which is another district, which would have built into it already the certain limitations. Now, exactly what those limitations are, there were differences of viewpoint, but and that does take a little bit longer to draft, and because you're trying to craft something that's not only going to apply just to this, a district that would not only apply just to this particular situation, but other situations. So that one is a little more lengthy, probably, in terms of its consideration, whereas the first two types of alternatives, one's already in place, the other would be easy to draft, and then you've just got a focused thing that's just on that particular piece of property, so the other conditions don't have to relate to any other piece of property other than that one. Those are the three alternatives that you have,
so
other than...
Second.
I have a couple, can I ask a couple questions of Mike?
Yep.
Joel had her hand up.
Clarify, so the conditional use zoning, you can only specify one single use at the time that you can't, like, have...
No, you could. You could have, because, like, for example, when you get a conditional use permit, you have, in terms of the uses, often you'll see the applicant will list 4, 5, 6, 7 different uses. But the, I guess what the specific element of it is the particular, the building shape, you know, all of the site plan requirements are very specific. The uses, you could have multiple uses, though, just like if you get a conditional use permit now for some commercial facilities, any commercial facility that requires a conditional use permit, they will often come in and say, like they did in the Roberson Street situation, we want it allowed to put in office uses, retail uses, you know, blah 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 blah. So, as part of the conditional use permit, so you could do that, but it would be specific in terms of the particular site plan. Whereas conditional rezoning, for example, you could say what the uses are, have a list of uses, and not have any very specific site requirements. I mean, you don't know exactly what the site's going to look like. You just know what the uses are going to be.
Okay.
Or you could have site limitations as well.
My other question was, so if we created the conditional zoning capability, presumably then the applicant would need to come back in once that was on the books and reapply and go through another process.
Well, they could do it simultaneously.
Well, or we could decide to adjourn this public hearing until another night when we consider the creation of conditional zone and advertise that hearing as being consideration of moving to B2 or B2C. True?
We could do that quickly.
Well, I mean, if you went to the conditional zoning thing, you'd have to put that in the ordinance. I suppose you could simultaneously entertain a petition to do it all together, I suppose, so that all of that could sort of happen at once. But then at that point, the zoning would be in place, and it would just they'd still have to go through a process of getting a zoning permit at that point, which doesn't happen overnight, but it doesn't take too long either.
I guess my point is that we could simply decide to take no action on their rezoning request tonight, put that off until, you know, the second agenda item on another public hearing night, and the first agenda item on the public hearing night is the possibility of creating a conditional zones, or even could be just B2C. You know, it could be B2 conditional only.
Yeah, but it would be a new process, because this was a public hearing on a general B2 zoning district rezoning, and what you'd be talking about doing here would be creating the conditional use opportunity and a specific conditional use, a specific conditional rezoning. So that rezoning would, it would be a new district. It wouldn't be a B2 district. It would be a B2 conditional district, which is different. So it would have to be a new process. Now you could waive the fees and all that sort of stuff, but, you know,
it could be a board. I mean, if it, there is no fee, if it's a board-initiated rezoning.
So. Either way.
I guess there's a question of it would whether it would have to go back before the planning board again.
It would. I mean, it would be a new application for a different thing.
Although this is just about exactly what they recommended, but okay.
All right.
Well, they recommended conditional use rezoning, and this is the conditional zoning. The conditional use rezoning. Is perfect fits this application well because there's a specific use and there's a specific design and blah blah blah. So okay. I mean,
would it be possible for us to consider at like our April public hearing or something like that the creation of conditional zones, and then for us to decide right here and now that we're also initiating this process of considering a B2C rezoning of that particular property and ask the planning board to look at that issue in its April meeting so that we kind of do a number of these things at the same time over the course of the next month or so.
Now you've gone.
But it's partly a staff question.
I'm going to punt that one.
Well, it's less than 30 days between now and then. Means we just... And so...
So in part, the question is, can
it's a little bit tight for meeting all of our kind of
the books yet.
Right.
It's just tight for getting the notice to Orange County of the public hearing. The planning board has kind of a 30-day window of having stuff referred to them and having it.
May. I mean, May's not a. I mean, it's. I know it's another 2 months, but.
Mark, I wonder if we should hear from Jane on, among the three alternatives that Mike just articulated, what her preference is.
Probably not number three. I'm only guess. Because it takes longer.
We just want to be in compliance and be as efficient about it. So I think what y'all are trying to come through is the same thing that we were in hopes when we started this, that there was some other kind of zones before we started it. So I think our ultimate goal is, and our whole group here, is to, within a year, or 2 years at the max, have a new zone that actually is a transitional zone. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, we're all talking the same language, but I like what you said about no additional feedback.
I don't think the town manager doesn't have a big smile on his face.
What is the fee that they paid for to apply for this rezoning?
It's about $1,500, I think, for
$1,500?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. All right. We need a motion.
So I
Joel.
What did he say? If I understand him correctly, he said that the conditional use rezoning fits the application.
Conditional zoning.
Conditional use zoning, I think, is a possibility for this, in as much as, I mean, that scenario works well when you have a specific use or a specific plan for the property, as opposed to
conditional zoning.
Seeking to get it rezoned without really knowing what you're doing, but wanting a more limited range of uses.
Which is a conditional zone.
I think they have if I understood her correctly, they have a specific use for the property. So if that's the case, then I would move to do conditional use rezoning, in as much as they have a specific use.
I'll second that, and I'd like to make two friendly amendments. One is that we do... waive the fee for the new application from this party, and also that we ask staff to expedite getting that to the planning board and back to us for public hearing.
I want to get one clarification, though, because I think that sounded a little different than what I thought I heard the attorney describing.
Right.
In the sense that See, we don't need an ordinance amendment. Or we don't need to change the ordinance to allow for conditional use.
That's right.
Zoning, because we do have that now. The only issue or problem with that is that they would have had to have started applying, you know, 6 to 12 months ago for a conditional use permit for this particular use. And so if we pursued the conditional use rezoning route for this property, then they would need to begin now with a whatever 6 to 12 month, and it probably is more like 12 month, conditional use permit application. Do you follow what I'm getting at?
I do, but that wasn't my understanding.
So. I had the
sense.
Mr. Attorney, let me try it again.
Right.
The conditional use zoning is a rezoning, so it would require a new rezoning.
Right.
The applicant applies for a rezoning and simultaneously for a conditional use permit. Okay. That process works in the context where, as I say, where you have a specific use and know exactly what you can do with the property.
Right.
It does, however, require that there be a conditional use permit be issued and a rezoning. The alternative to that is conditional zoning,
okay,
which does not require the issuance of a conditional use permit,
okay,
but does require, it would have to be a two-step, well, it could be simultaneously, but there would be two actions we'd have to take. First, we'd have to amend the text of the ordinance to provide for conditional use.
Conditional zoning.
Right. Pardon my terminology. To apply it, we have to amend the ordinance so that conditional rezoning is possible.
Okay.
And the applicant would have to apply for a conditional rezoning. Now, it seems to me you could probably run those two of those together.
Okay.
In the sense that we have on other occasions done amendments to the ordinance and applications for permits which necessitated the passage of those amendments have come simultaneously, you know, mm-hmm, rather than sequentially.
Okay.
And so, and if you did that, there would not be a conditional use permit issued, but the result of that would be then a zoning permit would be issued. Now, what I don't know, of course, is, I mean, if that process, since we've never done one of those, whether, you know, exactly how long that takes to wind through the planning staff's review, I don't know.
So we don't know if it's significantly quicker or not.
Well, a zoning permit is, I mean, it's a what?
Yeah, the zoning permit
is 7 to 30 day process or something like that.
But the conditional zoning permit would also allow for the specific small range of uses. It would target that.
What you can do is let me just give you a hypothetical illustration. The conditional rezoning might say we're asking for a B2 conditional zone that is subject to the following limited number of uses,
right,
and the businesses, the hours of the businesses,
right,
cannot be operated on the weekends or after 9 p.m. or 6 p.m. or whatever. And, you know, we have to have flowers on the front porch if you want.
Right.
I mean, whatever, because the conditions have
right
to be.
Definitely.
The conditions have to be requested by the applicant.
Right. Okay.
Which is not the same as the CUP. So,
yes.
So that motion.
Oh, well, we'll draw the first motion.
Okay.
And we'll try to start.
I will draw the second.
So,
right,
so I'd like to move that we direct staff to prepare a conditional zoning district. And what other language?
Conditional rezoning.
First, conditional rezoning.
First, we have to
create conditional zoning.
First, they have to
create conditional zoning.
They have to create an amendment to
text amendment.
A text amendment.
I think
that's the first. Well, go ahead.
And I think based on the way that Mr. Bro just put that really the applicant does. We need for the applicant to submit the rezoning application for the specific property rather than, as I suggested, it being board initiated, because the applicant needs to propose what those conditions would be. But maybe we could decide to waive the $1,500 rezoning application fee in light of the circumstances.
That is correct on the first part. What you do with the fees is up to you, but you can only rezone property to a conditional zoning district upon the application of the property owner affected or owners affected.
Okay. So is that your motion then,
mm-hmm,
Randy?
Yep.
Okay, including waiving the $1,500.
That's right. Can we ask one question about that?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is, is the waiver to apply to the public notice requirements associated with the rezoning as well?
No.
I mean, there is just the applicants are required to submit envelopes and that sort of thing. Otherwise,
yeah,
that's
I think that probably needs to happen in its usual fashion.
Right. Yeah, right.
Although, how anybody who's interested could possibly not know at this point, I don't know.
I know, but just out of abundance of caution.
New people may move in the next 2 months. All right. and because we never waived that.
Not going.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded for that. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passed unanimously. Surely there's some basketball game we should all be watching.
Yes.
All right, Mark,
4 minutes.
Can we agree to resend your letter to the county commissioners objecting to the timing of the economic development luncheon?
Yes, please. Once again, every year.
It is.
I mean, it just sets it up to be the elite talking about economic development.
It's during working hours and a lot of
you don't like a blue collar.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
No idea that people work for a living.
We do.
And yet they're going to talk about
it. We'll probably rework it slightly, but we'll do that.
I'll ask Dean a question later. We don't have to. I can ask him before.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.